It's very interesting that we're taking this name alpha as a toxic thing. In the old days, the alpha is the egocentric, the controlling behavior, all these bad things. Let's put it this way. But with modern times, the alpha traits changed. The traits that I believe the alpha holds is completely different from the old version.
Plug into the minds of the world's cutting-edge innovators, visionaries, and thought leaders who are rewriting the rules of sales and success. It's your time to make an impact. I am your host, Jason Mark Campbell, and this is the Selling with Love podcast. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Selling with Love podcast. I'm your host, Jason Mark Campbell, and I'm so excited to bring an amazing guest and a dear friend that I've recently had the acquaintance to meet in Dubai, where we went through a very powerful transformational experience together, really setting some big visions. And he was someone that I noticed in the audience. He was standing out. He was really someone that was driven, looking to accomplish great things, and I could see that there was more than meets the eye. I started doing some research to discover that Saif El-Hakim is the CEO and founder of Saif El-Hakim Co. & Associates, the man behind the Alpha Movement. He's an author, international speaker, Fortune 500 advisor, a consultant, entrepreneur, personal brand expert, and recently just released his book, Unleash the Alpha. By the way, we'll be putting a link in the show notes for you to get a copy of that. And I love the story on how he went from different industries with a certain level of passion, a certain level of energy that really brought the kinds of results where now millions of followers on Instagram, investing in multiple businesses, bringing success all around him. And I want to see, what is the energy behind this man's success? How do we tap into that as well? Whether we're entrepreneurs, following a career path, making sales, and bring a little bit of that into our own lives as well. Saif, welcome to the show.
Jason, brother, I need the script of this intro. I loved it. Thank you, brother. It's really an honor to be with you on the show. And really, we met recently, but I believe as if we knew each other for a long time. So you have a brother in Dubai.
Now, I had the same feeling as soon as I seen you. And I also saw you with, you know, the way that you showed up with your partner. And I think that was one of the things that we were talking about. Very close with your partner, a lot of respect. Areas of life, seems that there's a lot of balance. And you speak about the alpha movement. Now, I'll be honest with you, Saif. When I hear something like alpha movement, I think masculinity. I also think toxic masculinity, which is like a big trend right now. And it's something you got to be careful for. So I'd be curious to know, like, what brought you into the alpha movement? And is there a lot of toxicity that still exists when people are pursuing this alpha type of lifestyle?
You know, it's very interesting that we're taking this name alpha as a toxic thing. Okay, whatever the brand conveys, in the old days, the alpha is the egocentric, the controlling behavior, all these bad things. Let's put it this way. But with modern times, the alpha traits extremely changed. And the things that I believe, or the traits that I believe the alpha holds, is completely different from the old version. So let me give you a very quick umbrella overview of what an alpha means. The alpha is a person who lacks something that everybody has, which is the stop. We don't stop. We're obsessed in getting what we're after. That's an alpha. An alpha is the person who is fiercely determined, a person who takes the tough decisions. You know, a lot of people, they don't know how to make decisions. They're afraid to make decisions. An alpha is the person who makes the tough decisions. He takes care of the loved ones. He's responsible. He's impactful. These are all the traits of the modern alpha, not the controlling behavior and. But Jason, if you tell me that to achieve all these traits or have all these traits, you will be perceived as selfish, okay, you see it this way, but it's not. I'm on a mission to, or obsession to, get something. That's a modern alpha.
I find that this is one of the parts that makes people hesitate towards embracing that kind of mentality, is almost this fear of judgment that people will perceive them as selfish. But what you speak about is something I'm witnessing with other people I work with, where taking responsibility, making those kinds of decisions, is not a trait that I see in most people, and I feel like the world needs it more than ever. What are some of the dysfunctions you're seeing in the way that we operate as society because nobody's embracing this quality?
True. You know, like, I see a lot of people, they lack leadership. They love following. And that's with the social media all around. you can't take the step forward and lead your destiny. Let's put it this way, lead your journey. Majority of the people are following people for their journey. Excuse me, you need to take control of your destiny at the end of the day. So that's a dysfunction that I see. Lack of responsibility of taking decisions. Jason, that's a disaster. People are asking people opinion for the simplest decision to make. So all these dysfunctions that I see, we need to have more alphas. I mean, a man and a woman. So being an alpha is not only a man thing, it's feminine as well. When people tell me, okay, do you want an alpha woman? Yes, an alpha woman. An alpha woman means that you're alpha outside of home. You're alpha with your career. You're alpha with your journey. But inside of home, the feminine side comes out. So it's a man and a female thing. How you play the cards, it depends on the situation.
Yeah. I mean, I think you need both of those energies based on the circumstances. But when you're talking about, I hear a lot of the statements being, you know, we live in a man's world, right? But it's almost like you can't alter that. There is competition. There is success that needs to be earned. There is a competitive landscape that you need to navigate. And a lot of those masculine qualities is what you need to function in that space. But I'd be curious just to show the other side of the coin. You talked about the old definition of alpha. If I wanted to kind of dig into that, because if, say, I want to embrace these leadership qualities, there must be ways that you go about it incorrectly. That could be an embodiment of the things that could be more toxic. What are some of the things you should avoid if you're going to embrace this, or you should be at careful for, so you're not doing it in the incorrect way?
You know, Jason, and I passed through this path as well. I grew in corporate ladder very fast, super fast. And one of the drawbacks of this, because I was young and I reached a CMO position when I was in early 30s. And my ego took over. Okay, absolutely. Blinded me like crazy. So one of the things that people need to take care of is the ego. There is a borderline between you have confidence and you just go beyond that and become an egocentric, selfish. You don't see besides you. You don't see beyond your opinions. And this is the time when you start to fall. And that's considered an alpha, the old version. So when you don't hear people's opinion, you don't get feedback. You know, like the point when you cross the ego point and you become extremely egocentric, one of the things that I faced, that I stopped or I neglected the people who helped me to grow. You understand what I'm saying? Like the people that supported me to grow, their feedback and their mentorship, they supported me to grow, but my ego blinded me to a level that I stopped. Who the hell are you to give me an advice? One of the things is the ego. Take care of the ego. The second thing also, because it all relates, when your ego jumps in, you stop learning because you think that you know everything. You understand? Like, I stop learning. So you like, okay, I know it all. I'm good at it. So you start even losing the learning part, not getting feedback from your close circle. So you start to deteriorate.
I experienced something similar in my 20s, and I have to go back to the time when I was working at Mindvalley. And it's interesting because we were selling personal growth products, and I was selling them. I wasn't consuming them. I thought, oh, look at me. I'm a healthy person. I don't need these. This is for broken people. But lucky for them, oh me, I get to market it and sell it to them so I can help the world, only to realize that I was the biggest hypocrite. And I was the one who needed that stuff the most. And I had it come and slap me in the face with some like really bad life decisions I made at the time that sabotaged my relationships. And I feel like I've went down there. And if I didn't keep it in check, I feel like the universe will put you in check if you don't naturally do it. And so I'd be curious to know if there's tools that can keep those in check, or are you just destined to learn by stepping into it and going too far yourself, you know?
You know, the best thing I believe, Jason, is reflection. Like, you need time with yourself. I'm not going to say it like every day, but at least once a week. Review what happened. And if you keep a checkpoint every now and then, I don't want to say if you're smart enough, if you're authentic enough with yourself, you will find some things that really you can play with it. And that's what happened to me. I always, you know, even these days, like everybody say, like we journal every day. It doesn't matter you journal or not. Have a couple of minutes with yourself. See how the day went. What kind of wins you had, losses. And if the losses or the failures due to your fault or not. you know, it's a conversation with yourself. So be open. Yes, I fucked up with something. Yes, I should have not reacted that way. Why I did this? So the next day, you're destined to do better. The idea of whole being an alpha, really, to be better every day, regardless. So if you have a reflection at particular checkpoints or even every day, that's the best way.
I find that sometimes when I'm thinking about the hustle, right? Which, to be honest, the word hustle is something I would associate with a kind of alpha trait, and correct me if I'm wrong, but when I'm in that alpha, that flow, I rarely take the time to slow down and reflect because you almost get like intoxicated by the forward momentum. And I don't know if that's something that you have to pay particular attention when things go well, or do you see some of the cracks in the foundation? Because I feel like most of the times if I've ran in ego mode, I was blindsided because I stopped doing those habits that got me there in the first time. So what's your relationship with detecting these while you're kind of intoxicated with the flow?
You know, when happened this particular moment when my ego went so high, I took a commitment to myself. You know, the time when you go to bed and your head is facing the ceiling. So before you sleep, this is the moment when I reflect. So I said every single day, even if it's going to be a couple of minutes, and I have a notebook next to me, I will sit, I will lie down, and my eyes or my head towards the ceiling, and I will quickly review what happened that day, regardless. And if anything that attracted my attention, I will just write it down. And then on Sundays, I look over all these things. You put it a habit. You know, everything that we do at the end of the day, it's a habit. So if you commit to it and you do it, it becomes automatic. I'm doing it every day. Really, I lost a lot during this period when my ego was super high. I lost close friends. I lost close allies. I hurted my family. And you know, like I always tell my close people, when I do a mistake, I have a commitment to myself over my dead body's going to happen again. Because it happened once. But if it happened again, it means it is intentional that I do it again. So there is a commitment that it will never happen again. So it's structured. Every day when I look at the ceiling before I sleep, I go through the day. What happened? What did I do wrong? What did I do right? It's me versus me at the end of the day. You know, when you said like we will be perceived by people, when we do like this, people will perceive us as alphas that we're... Perceive? Jason, nobody will remember us in 10 years timeline. Why should I give a damn about that? Yes, when we were young, yes, we need to get acceptance from our family, our friends, our circle. But at the end of the day, only 5, 6, 10 people, your hands, really people who cares about you. At the end of the day. So why you should keep the perception? You live by your values. You have your integrity. And I'm moving in this direction. Whatever you perceive me, it's none of my business. I'm trying to be good in my way. My values, ethics, principles, and that's it.
I love that. Now, I got to do a callback because I love what you just suggested here, but you also define alpha with one core quality, which is the ability to not stop. And right now, I look at what you're doing. I mean, you're having amazing success in the ventures, the businesses you're investing in. What's keeping you going? Like, what's the goals you're trying to achieve? Like, because a lot of times, some people can say, I've built my little nest. This is enough for me. And in your sense, you're saying, no, there's more to be done. What's the chase? What's the fuel to make you go beyond what could be considered reasonable?
Okay. What is the chase and what is the reason behind? Let's divide them. The chase is non-ending. So if you tell me define success, I'll tell you the next success. What is the chase is the next chase. Yes, sometimes people will look at you and tell you, Jason, relax. What's wrong with you? Why are you like... Can you relax a little bit? And I think your answer will be, sorry, I'm built different. Okay? And that's a mindset of an alpha, the mindset of a champion, the mindset of like all these great champions. Success, it's just what's next? What is next? What is next? And that's how we're built. Is it bad for people? Not bad for people. It depends on you at the end of the day and what's your objective. Okay? So this is one thing. So when safe will stop, you know, the grave, next to the grave. That's it. That's how I'm programmed. The why behind this, you know, everybody has his own backstory. And his whole deep things that runs behind why you keep, why you're doing this. One of them is absolutely my mother. Like if I go to my deep, deep, deep why is, of course, one of them is my mother. She sacrificed for me a lot. And the one that believed in me a lot. Okay, that's one thing. The second thing is in a way of constructive revenge. For every single piece of person that said you won't be able to do it, you're an idiot, you're a loser. Let's see. Again, it's a constructive revenge, which means I'm not doing it intentionally to prove them wrong. I'm doing it intentionally to prove to myself. Like, you know, yesterday I had an interview and somebody told me, are you happy with your success? I said, I really don't give a damn about my success. I'm happy with who I am by reaching this success, if you call it success. It's what I've been crafted to, my character, my attitude, my behavior. I'm disciplined like shit. I'm consistent like hell. Like people around me can say, like, you are freaking boring. Yes, absolutely I am. But this is how I'm built. To reach what I want, I have to be boring, consistent, and disciplined.
I think it's one of the biggest advantages that is underrated is just being able to be comfortable with a boring life because it's so liberating. And, you know, I also want to just call out what you mentioned about your constructive revenge because I relate to this in a different way. And I think for a lot of people that have that drive, there's usually like some sort of event that pushed you to want to do better than just normal. And I have one, I almost feel ashamed and guilty, but I'm going to share because maybe there's someone listening that has a similar story. But, you know, I often listen to people that have had success and they have a rags to riches story, right? They went through some hard times and that became the origin story to make it and prove it. And I have to say, like for me, I've actually had a pretty good foundation. Like the family was good. Financially, they did really well. And I had a really weird trigger. And it was when I was growing up, kids would say, oh, what you do will never matter because your parents are well off. And so you don't need to do anything. And then I turned it into fuel. And I find it's very interesting that we can have very different circumstances and choose to use it constructively or not, because I've seen some people that might have looked at this revenge factor but not use it constructively. And so I'd be curious to know, what nudged you into making sure that you're, first off, kudos to being aware that that's one of the fuel, but making sure you're not using it destructively versus constructively? Are there things that have happened that made you aware of that, that people could also take?
You know, like, first of all, it happened from very close people. Like, let's say, for example, from family members, okay? So you can't be destructive with family members, okay? So based on the culture that I've grown in, I can't be destructive. There is always a respect, always, you understand, like the culture itself, I can't be destructive with the revenge, correct? So the only way I had is to prove it another way, in a constructive way. So that's one part. The second part, I'm an athlete since I was young. So I was in the professional team of Kung Fu. So that's my start. So whatever a challenge or a criticism or I have to fight back by winning. So you understand, like I can't take a challenge. It's okay. It's a challenge or an obstacle and I'm done. No, like if somebody punched me in the face, I'm going to stand up and punch you. That's the only way I know. There is no other way. So these are the two things that created in me, I believe. One of the main theme of the book, which is watch me. Whatever happens in my life is just I am silent and inside of me is a fire that watch me. It happened in my early times when a family member told me you're an idiot in school. Boof. It absolutely changed me 180 degrees. I'll show you the idiot. The second one I was in Samsung. Before even going to Samsung, when I was in the interview to get into Samsung, the assistant told me, like, you're an Egyptian, you guys are lazy, you never win this kind of Oho, watch me. When I was even inside of Samsung, the HR told me, relax, relax, I'll replace you with an empty chair in 2 seconds. Watch me. A family member told me, oh, you're doing things online. It's absolutely bull. Focus on real business offline. Pa, pa, pa. Watch me. So that's why the theme for me, I believe all my life, is a watch me. Or to be honest, sometimes I feel I'm hunting this. Like I'm triggering you to the level to tell me something. So I have to respond with a watch me.
I like the fact that you admit to this, because you mention how you had a moment where when the ego took control, the feedback was not coming. And I find that your way of operating, and we even talked about how if you're operating as an alpha, it seems like there's going to be more reflections coming from society, which means if you're able to capture feedback, you're getting the watch me opportunities being fed to you constantly. And now, like, I look at what you've achieved and I'm like, damn, that's impressive. That's awesome. And it's very exciting. And it sounds like you're just at the beginning of that journey anyways, which brought you to a point where you wrote the book. And I'd be curious to know, like, writing a book is not an easy thing. It takes time. And I'd be curious to know what brought the fuel in your heart to go ahead and put a difficult project forward into writing this book.
You know, Jason, do you remember when I told you this? Like, I had a moment that the head of HR in Samsung headquarters in Korea told me, Saif, I will replace you with an empty chair in 2 seconds. From that day, I took a commitment on myself. And I said, like, every single day, I will develop myself to a level that I will never be replaced. Okay, so in my routine, a daily routine, I study whatever the name study from an hour to two a day. I have to develop myself an hour and two per day, not to have this, I'll replace you. It's either in a work, partner, relationship, whatever it is. Since that day, I'm always writing on the side, the things that catch my attention. And then I started, okay, I need to write my book, because first of all, I want to write my book with my journey, because my journey is very interesting from my perspective. And I believe a lot of people that coming from Egypt, traveling abroad, going through a corporate life, and then leaving corporate life, going to entrepreneurship. And then at the same time, in 1 year, you decided to be in Mr. Olympia and you participate, become top 10 in Mr. Olympia. I believe a lot of, I would say, lessons you can get out of this. So I put it in a book. First of all, I name it Unleash the Alpha, because it's more about like the mindset, kind of strategies that you can play with. And I divide it into 8 rules. The 8 rules are part of my life journey in each of this. Being in corporate, being young, that everybody tells me you will be nobody, going to entrepreneurship route, being a sports person, a professional sports person. I put all this in a book, 8 principles that I believe and I hope that the people who read will get, I would say, some real tactics, not just theory, because it's based on real story. So it's my life story in tactical way that will really help them to, I would say, succeed.
I'm going to make sure that everybody finds a copy of this book. Have a look at the show notes. We're going to make sure there's a link to the book. You can get yourself a copy. For those of you who are finding themselves hitting roadblocks, wanting to achieve more and wanting to embrace this side of you that you may have had this whole time, but has laid dormant because society sometimes tells we don't have permission to charge forward, this will be the perfect book for you to start reading after listening to this show. Saif, I want to talk about the corporate side. So, you know, a lot of the people that I follow and a lot of the information you see online talks about entrepreneurship being the best journey. You also inspire a lot of people to go into the entrepreneurial path. And I'd be curious, because you went through a path of corporate first, do you find that that's something that helps you shape and prepare you for the entrepreneurial journey? Or do you wish you would have went straight to entrepreneurship?
Okay, my point of view, being an entrepreneur requires a different type of caliber, or you have some attributes to be a successful entrepreneur. Number one, a lot of people decide to be an entrepreneur out of motivation. And motivation doesn't make you successful, okay? Like, you understand, like, you don't need to jump like Tarzan and you'll be successful because you chanted a couple of affirmations. So to be an entrepreneur requires a little bit of attributes, which we'll talk about them. But from my point of view, if anybody come and tell me, say, what's your opinion? I would say, like, go to corporate for a couple of years. First of all, go to a corporate where you see yourself, you want to be entrepreneur, you want to be a real estate broker. Work in a real estate broker agency. Understand the system. Understand the business model. Get the network. Get the connections. Model what they're doing. Couple of years, then start on your own afterwards. That's my, I would say, recipe. Or if you want to start on your own right away, find a good mentor. Model their success. You don't need to do everything on your own from the beginning. It's good to rely on yourself. But like whoever tells you I'm a self-made millionaire is bull. You need mentors. You need advisors. You need somebody to show you a plan. Tony Robbins tell you model success. And it's true. Model success. What are the people are doing to become the best real estate agency in the city? So if you tell me that corporate life helped you, absolutely. But is it a recipe for success? Absolutely not, because my transition was disaster.
Tell us more.
It's a different ball game. It's an absolute different ball game, absolute different skill sets. Like, I left corporate when I was a CMO, which means I thought myself that whatever I put my hand on will turn gold. Real life, absolutely not. Like, the first 6 to 12 months was hell. Because what I thought applicable to be an entrepreneur is not the same as in corporate. In corporate, you deal with corporate politics, you manage team of high caliber people, which is absolutely different than being an entrepreneur. In corporate, when I want to review a legal contract, it's like this. I want to make a website, it's like this. You know, whatever it is. Being an entrepreneur, no. If you want to do something, do it yourself first. So it took me 6 to 12 months. Jason was hell. And you know, the self-doubt, you know, like, I really had this thing, which is actually in my book as well. I woke up one night and I was absolutely fed up. I don't know why I can't succeed. Like, it's finished. Like, everything is completely destroyed. And I woke up in the middle of the night. I went to the bathroom. I look in the mirror. I see a person who's absolute. I don't know who's that person in the mirror. A person who's absolutely not confident. My confidence was to the roof. The person absolutely unconfident, self-doubt, don't know what is going on. And you know, this whisper that comes to your ears that tells you, like, save, go back to corporate. Go back to corporate. You understand? That's your strength. And at that moment, I remembered my mother. I remembered the people that rely on me. And you know, I hold the vase, I broke the mirror, and I said, I don't want to see this shit anymore. Took my personal development to an absolute different level. I really got the mentors, the coaches. I did things with my hands. Fail, stand up, back. Try again. Pivot, try again. Until I made it happen. You know, one of the main things to be an entrepreneur is when you wake up in the morning and you don't know what the hell will work or not. You understand? Like, I'm running a project. I don't know when all this effort, money, resources will turn. You're working with an absolute uncertainty. And when everybody tells you, no, you have to be certain. In entrepreneurship, you can't be certain. There are people are able to live with this thing. Now I thrive on uncertainty. I love it. But at that time, oh shit. I thought when I do a product, it will sell. Oh my God. Oh shit, product is something, selling it is something else. So like, people like who don't have thick skin or are ready to persist and never give up, yes, they can be an entrepreneur. A person who wants a soft cushion, wants the salary that comes in every month, can be insecure, can be an entrepreneur. It will destroy him or her 100%.
First off, I just want to acknowledge, thank you for sharing that part, because that's the part of the journey most people don't necessarily put their lens on. But it's so critical, because people listening here thinking, wow, you've probably just, you know, nailed it right from the transition. You're the type of guy that bowls those through. And of course you have that, but there were moments, there were those doubts, there was those failures. And I think what you're speaking about, that dealing with the uncertainty, God damn. Like you, because I've had that happen. Like I had, my God, it was just last year. I remember things weren't selling. I have expenses. The cash flow is not coming in. I have payroll coming up. And like, oh my God, I've had that happen to me in the past. And I gave up and I went into corporate. And that's when I ended up joining Mindvalley. And it was a blessing. Joining Mindvalley was my journey to toughen my skin, learn the business, learn the contacts. And then I remember last year, I had a moment where I felt I was tempted again by fate. And I went through the dirt and kind of held on until suddenly there was like a flood of opportunities, connections. And it's almost like there was a rite of passage that was laid to me by the divine. And I know this sounds a little more woo-woo. It sounds like that happens a lot.
But, you know, Jason, I love what you said now because, you know, if things didn't work with me, you know, there are a lot of people out there that tell you, I'm an entrepreneur, I will make things happen, okay? And I will keep good. But at the end of the day, you're a man or you're a woman, you have responsibilities. Let's put it in a plain, simple way. I'm an entrepreneur and I'm doing my best to get my project up and running. But if, as you said, cash is running, I'm running out of cash, it's finished. You can't be super dumb. And a job opening happened. Like if it's safe, I'm saying I'm an entrepreneur and I love entrepreneurship, right? And I love uncertainty. But if a job opening opened, I will go back to corporate. Why? Because I have the responsibility. I have to put food on the table for my family. I have to cover this. And then when the right moment comes, I will jump back. But you have your priorities. I need to put my kids to school. My wife has to live good. My mom has to live good. No, I'll step back from entrepreneurship, get things back into order, and then I'll jump back. So when people say like in, out, everybody has his own journey. Maximize the outcome of this journey.
You've repeated that a few times, and I think it's actually worth stressing because there's so many times you're looking at a guru to tell you the path, and I find that's the most ironic thing. I'm going to listen to this podcast, The Alpha, Saif. Okay, he's telling me how to think for myself and how to develop my own journey. So what do I need to do? I need to follow his journey and like not forge my own path. That's
my journey.
That's weird, right? Like that's a bit of a dichotomy. And so how do you... Because I know you help so many people unleash their own entrepreneurial talent. And you're regarded as a guru, a mentor, someone to follow in their footsteps. How do you balance sharing your lessons without making people become, call it dependent, or just really trying to replicate the same path as you, when truly you're trying to teach them how to embrace their own path?
What I'm trying to tell people or advise people with is some red flags, some tactics, some mindset, some strategies that is applicable to each and every person during his path. But again, you use or utilize these things according to your path. So what is your goals? What is your objectives? What are your priorities? Your priorities are different than my priorities. Like if you're talking to a person, for example, say, for example, married and have kids, it's different than somebody else who's not married and they don't have kids. So what are your priorities? There are foundation, there are principles to follow. But these are not, I would say, it's not a Quran, it's not a Bible that you need to follow word to word, letter to letter. You take what fits you. And the main thing what I feel people miss is the awareness about their situation and clarity about their goal. So awareness about my situation and the clarity of the goal that I'm going. So even Saif now, Saif has mentors. He learned from people. He takes courses. But that doesn't make me I'm going to move completely different. No. I'm taking what fits my situation, what fits my circumstances, and I utilize it to the best that I can at this particular point.
Saif, I absolutely love that you're able to take that and bring what is necessary without necessarily not thinking and just trying to copy. Which brings me to one thing I'd love to bring from you, which is, of course, Unleash the Alpha just came out. If we have a ton of people listening to this are picking up Unleash the Alpha, what are you hoping is the best outcome for someone who picks up this book and applies its principles? What would be the thing that would make you the most excited for them to do with this knowledge?
Frankly speaking, there are 8 chapters. Each chapter highlight 2 statements and put them to action. You remember, Jason, when we were in the retreat and we said, like, we overconsume, and we lack creation, which is exactly, I overread, I overlearn to podcasts, I overtake courses, but I rarely take actions. So one of the things that I really wish and I hope people will do, read every chapter, have a post-it on each chapter. After you finish the chapter, put the post-it, write the action item, what you want to do from this chapter. Even one idea, just freaking one idea. By finishing the book, you will have 8 action items. If you do this, I promise, and I guarantee that things will be different for you.
Saif, thank you so much for coming on the show, giving us some applicable insights, some nuggets to take into our own journey. Some of the key takeaways I took around from here is, 1, if you want to develop the traits of an alpha, there's nothing toxic about it. It's about understanding that the journey never stops. You stay hungry, and the success itself, it's not about being happy. You continue because you know it's making a difference. I love how you've taken some of the wounds and changed that into what you call constructive revenge, but that's being like, watch me. Just anything that's caused pain, not being sad about it, not wallowing or giving up on it, but just thinking, wow, here's an opportunity to prove someone wrong. And that's the best way to be able to pursue the journey and create amazing value in the process. And now I love that we have the book that's going to give us a chance for us to go through these 8 principles. Know that when you're going into entrepreneurship, you're going to deal with uncertainty. You'll train that muscle, but you have to be ready to know that that always will be the case. There will always be uncertainty. So you have to have the stomach for it. And with that, of course, there is one question I always ask my guests who do come on the show, Saif, which is, you're on the Selling with Love podcast. So what does selling with love mean to you?
Selling with love means to me is, when I sell to somebody, I sell as if it's my sacred mission, which means whatever I am selling is I put myself in a place as if I'm selling a drug to a person who was bitten by a snake and he was going to die, to the level that if I don't sell it to him or her, it's a disgrace. A lot of people, their selling is like they're pushing, but it's not their sacred mission. When you're selling something, you believe in it to the level that it's a disservice if you're not getting this product or service to the person in front of you. That's selling with love.
Oh, I love that way more than you can appreciate. That is exactly how I love the concept of selling love. I've never had anybody define it this way, and I absolutely love it. I think we need a lot more people that are heart-centered, have the right values, and are selling exactly this way. And we're going to see a lot of problems be solved on this planet.
Yeah. Listen, I want to add one thing before you close, because when you summarize the thing, it came to my mind, you know, like I'm always thinking. We hear about alphas as well. We hear a lot of, I don't want to say like gurus or whatever, speaking about, it's all about the journey. It's not about the goal. It's all about the journey. It's about the journey and it's about the goal. Goal is important as the journey. A map doesn't work without a destination, and the destination is the goal. So you can't just say like, I don't care about the goal. I'm just working with the journey. I'm developing. I'm happy in the journey, blah, blah, blah. It doesn't work. An alpha knows the freaking goal and knows the freaking journey, and he's focused on both. I can pivot the journey, but the goal is a goal.
Especially for my audience, I think this is an important reminder, because you do hear those being said very often. And I think if you don't set the right goal, your journey is not going to be making anything worthwhile. And so I'm hoping that those who embrace this concept of alpha are going to be setting some pretty big damn goals. Saif, thank you so much for coming on the show. This was an absolute pleasure, brother. And for everybody else tuning in, Unleash Your Alpha. Check in the show notes. We're going to have a copy of the book there. And of course, as you unleash your alpha and make an impact in the world, keep selling with love. I am your host, Jason Mark Campbell, and this is the Selling with Love podcast.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.